You know, sometimes when you meet with a group of people in the presbytery and you talk about church and what does church mean, and Wes and I went to one such meeting on Tuesday night, and you wonder where the church is at, and quite often people will say, well, you know, the sermons are not relevant to my life. They're not relevant to my journey of faith. I wonder what that means. And I thought maybe I would begin by saying, hasn't it been a terrible week? I don't know how you all felt because I wasn't here on Sunday, and I'm so grateful that Robin was able to come here, and he said yesterday at the wedding, he was so pleased to be here. How good is that? So it started last Saturday week. How did you feel when you saw that happening on the TV? Awful?
Devastated, sad.
Couldn't believe that it would happen in Australia. Jean, what country are we in? And as I spoke to people even yesterday at a wedding, even when it affects other people, it affects us, doesn't it? You wonder how can this happen? And what would be happening to that young guy's family? And what has happened to that person to go and do that? What are we lacking in our community that enables people to do that? And then a 16-year-old. 16. He's just beginning his life. And it shows us what media can do as well. In what happened within half an hour or an hour, the violence that took place outside that place. How did you feel when you saw that? Angry.
To me.
There's some research that's been done that says that the lockup from COVID has done a lot for people mentally. And maybe we need to be more aware of what's happening in people's minds and hearts at the moment. So it's tough, isn't it? And then we've got what's happening in Israel and in Palestine. And we think to ourselves, okay, we can do all sorts of things. We can put somebody on the moon. And yet we've got war and not peace. How is this possible? And I guess that most of us, if you're watching or you're listening to the politicians, I've been very annoyed lately when I listen to them. And you wonder where things are at. And then when you're thinking about all those things, I know that over the last couple of weeks, when I've watched what's happened to Tom, I'm so grateful for friends and family. And church family. So what does it mean for us when we hear the gospel reading about a good shepherd? Does it make any difference for us to know that Jesus is our good shepherd? And if it does make a difference to us, what is it? What is it? I guess for me, the Good Shepherd has given me strength over the last weeks to cope with what was happening around me. And sometimes you need an event, hopefully not like this one, or Brian falling off the ladder, or Jackie having to go through cancer, but they are those times when you feel, what it means to have the strength of the Good Shepherd. So it does make a difference, doesn't it? There's a person called Barbara Essex, and she's got a commentary in a book called Feasting on the Word. And she says she feels that there's so many people in our community hungering for something that they don't know what it is. And when I hear that, I then think to myself, what am I not doing then? What am I not doing in my own life to help somebody else? And I think that's a really important question for us to ask as a church, because we get in our daily life many opportunities to do something special for somebody else. I will never forget the social worker at the hospital in Broome who organised the flight for me to Perth. Only to find out that when Catherine, our daughter, was trying to get a flight, we arrived at Perth at exactly the same time. Exactly the same time. She says, our community, the community who hungers for connection in a society that values individualism and secularism, in our moments of loneliness, isolation, alienation, and feelings of hopelessness. Do you feel hopeless sometimes when you see what's happening? The Good Shepherd responds, listen to this, to our deepest yearnings for community by offering an alternative to our fears, our separation, and our insecurities. You know, every night, and how old am I now? I always forget how old I am. It's not intentional. All I know is that on November the 4th, I'm going to turn 80, right? So until I guess when my parents put me to bed, they taught me this prayer, okay? It's a child's prayer. It's a bedtime prayer, and I've said that for every single night. I still say that prayer, and it finishes off with these words, and it's a bit hard to translate it. I'll do my best. The last two sentences of this prayer is, let me of your large fold still be as a little lamb. So what do lambs need? They need their mums around, don't they? And it's asking of God that as part of his flock and known by name, that I can still be a lamb. And by lamb, I mean that he is there to nurture me. May the shepherd enfold you, each one of you, with strength and compassion and with love today and always. Amen. I want to close with a prayer. And then Wes will take over. There's something that I am inviting you to watch and as a part of reflection. Let's pray. Snatched and scattered by the wolves of want, the flock feeds not on pastures green and long, but is fed upon divided. They become the prey. No deep still waters waiting by, no soul restoring green grass lie, no rest, no guest, no righteous quest. And yet you have a voice. Will you hear the shepherd's voice? He calls, he cares, enfolds you in his snares of love. He holds you like a newborn child, then whispers, this is what I give. and lays his life down so that you might live. Amen.
Shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my
Your goodness will lead me.